T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Oh, speaking of cash in the bank, Jane Duker, you know what I got today in the mail? From Churchill. Cash? In fact, I have it right here. From Churchill Downs Incorporated. A nice check. I should have got one of these last year, but the steward stole it from me. But I hit the trifecta in the Derby last weekend, and I said, hey, yeah, send me a check. So I got that today, which was kind of nice.
Is it?
Really nice.
Are you going to spend it? I mean, isn't today your wife's birthday?
It is my wife's birthday. Ouch.
And please tell me that
I'm gonna spend it all on her.
Yeah.
No. Oh, come on.
Just remind
me. Well, first of all, it's 9/11, so it's an easy day to remember because she was actually in Barcelona on 9/11 19 years ago. Everybody's been sort of sharing their stories. I was in Milwaukee, and remember my memory is I was watching Blue's Clues or something with my kids. Aiden was 1 at the time. Evan was, I guess, 4, and probably getting ready to take him to daycare or something like that. My sister called and said, hey, are you watching the Today Show? The first plane had already gone, you know, through the World Trade Center. And then as I turned it on, flipped it from Nickelodeon or whatever to the Today Show, that's when obviously everything changed and we knew. Because if you remember, I mean, at first, no one really knew what was going on. You know, right. It wasn't an accident. It seemed like
it was
an accident. But when that second plane came in.
I was on Highway 40 listening to KMOX and heard like how wacky that it was that a plane went into the World Trade Center. You thought, okay, it's an accident. And then by the time I got to work, I was, you know, everyone was in the conference room watching the TV, and then you saw the second one, and you're like, oh boy, this is bad. Yeah, that was scary, very scary.
You know, two summers ago, I was in New York City and took my son for, you know, his pre-college trip. We went out and saw Norbert Leo Butz in a great show on Broadway, but I went to the 9/11 Memorial, and it is fantastic. Oh. I mean, it's a really tough, tough thing to get through, but it is something I would highly recommend. If you're in New York City ever again, if we allow travel, go to the 9/11 Memorial. All right, John Rooney's with us here this afternoon. We got to talk about baseball.
Now, the John Rooney Conversation on KMOX, sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and if you're a Missourian, we're for you.
The pitch on 3-2, there's a swing and a fly ball left field. That sends Demerit back, and the ball's gone! It goes over the wall into the Tiger bullpen. A two-run homer for Lane Thomas. And it's a 9-0 Cardinal lead in the third as the Cardinals have batted around against the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, that was fun yesterday afternoon. We'll kind of focus on the first game. John, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing fine, Mark. And speaking of 9/11, I was in New York 9/11.
You were there when it happened?
We got in. We had a wraparound game in Cleveland. I was with the White Sox. I had a wraparound
White
game
Sox,
with Cleveland
right.
on a Monday night. And then flew in to New York, landed in Newark at about 2:30 or 3, and got to the hotel about 4. And then I got a call from my wife at just after the first plane hit the World Trade Center, hit the tower. And she said, they bombed the World Trade Center. And I said, well, that's been done before. And then I lost the connection. So I turned the TV on, and about that time the second plane hit. And I was in New York, and I guess that first plane flew right over the Grand Hyatt on its way to the towers.
Well, the Cardinals, John, were in Milwaukee. I was supposed to go to a game that night with some friends who were in town from Columbia, Missouri, and that was obviously all put on hold. And it's just hard to believe that that was, you know, next year I think we'll probably, not that we don't talk about it every year and share memories, but with the 20th anniversary coming up, it's just hard for me to believe. You know, these are, I just saw a story that this is really the 9/11, the kids after 9/11, the first time they'll vote in a presidential election will be, you know, this year, which sort of puts emphasis on how long it's been. Well, let's talk baseball here a little bit. Jane's with me this afternoon. John, the Cardinals had a pretty good first game. And, man, did you guys do a computation of how many runs the Tigers had scored upon them in just like 2 or 3 days?
Oh, yeah, it was like 19-0, and then the Cardinals put up 12, you know, in the next game. And the Cardinals had a 3-0 lead in the second game. And the Tigers, once they put some hits together and found some problems with the Cardinal pitching staff, then they took out their frustrations and scored 5 in the seventh inning and came back to win 6-3 over the Cardinals in the second game. And Giovanni Gallegos did not look good yesterday, and he had to leave with an injury. It's a groin problem, and we should know something a little bit later on what the Cardinals are going to do to address that with Gallegos as he's being further examined today. But we should hear something on that in just a little while. But the second game, Cardinals had opportunities to get a few more runs, did not. But they did break the game open in the first game. And what they've been able to do, the second game of the doubleheader against the Twins in game one yesterday, they've really worked deep in counts, taking some walks, taking advantage of some hit batters. And yesterday, the long ball, 5 home runs, 4 of them, 2 run homers, and the only solo shot was hit by Paul Goldschmidt on his 33rd birthday.
Matt, the one thing I noticed in that second game, because I was listening to the first game and then I was watching, getting ready for the Chiefs game, there were at least 3 amazing plays by the outfield of the Detroit Tigers to rob the Cardinals of some pretty big hits yesterday.
Man, Bonifacio in the second game made a great catch, and so did Daz Cameron, Mike Cameron's son. I got to cover Mike while he played for the White Sox, and then against the White Sox, his dad hit, Daz Cameron's dad hit 4 home runs in a game. So he's from a pretty good baseball family there, and man, he can go get the ball in the outfield. He took extra bases away from Goldschmidt in the second game, and then Bonifacio hit a home run to cap off the 5-run seventh inning. Detroit's not a bad club, and the Cardinals are on a stretch now where if they play every game, it's on the schedule. A lot of doubleheaders coming up, 3 single games with the Reds, then doubleheaders on Monday, Wednesday, and I think Saturday next week. 2 in Milwaukee, 1 in Pittsburgh. And then they come home and play a 5-game series in 4 days with Milwaukee that will include a doubleheader on a Saturday. Or a Friday maybe. I haven't looked that far ahead on the schedule. But it'd be 58 games, Mark. And if they have to make up the other 2 with Detroit, that would have to be on the day after the end of the regular season. And right now it looks like playoff implications for both teams. So they may have to play 1 or both of those games in Detroit.
It's going to be a fun couple of weeks. Let's get it done here in the winning series. That second game didn't really help. And then you kind of go back to that game a week ago against the Royals where they sort of pulled the surprise at the end of the game. That's baseball. These things happen, but you got to keep winning series. And I think the Cardinals just hopefully will keep improving here. The injuries do bother me. And, you know, the thing that's still frustrating, I was so hoping a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that I was seeing some signs of improvement. But we really aren't seeing improvement from Matt Carpenter at the plate right now, are we?
Well, he had 2 RBI hits yesterday in game 2.
Well, that's good.
And,
okay.
He seemed to swing the bat much better game 2. Let's hope that has carryover, if indeed he's in the lineup tonight. One other anniversary, though, over the weekend, it was the anniversary of Cal Ripken setting the Ironman record. I couldn't believe it, 25 years ago? I did that game for CBS Radio with Jeff Torborg and got to call a home run he hit in that game. But that seems like it was yesterday. And Mike Schilt was there as a fan for the Cal Ripken game.
No way.
And I think he got a foul ball during that game at Camden Yards. And, of course, he used to shine Cal Ripken's shoes when he was through Charlotte, where he worked for his mom in the baseball operation there in the minor leagues and did a little bit of everything. Mike Schilt came from the grassroots right up as a baseball man, and he's a huge fan as well as a very, very good strategical manager.
Adam Wainwright on the mound tonight. John, we'll talk on Tuesday afternoon. Enjoy the weekend.
I look forward to it, Mark. You too. Thanks.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
Welcome back. 3:22. Jane, I have, before the afternoon is over, I got a great story to share. Have you heard about this Jimmy Carter documentary, Jimmy Carter, Rock and Roll President?
Vaguely.
There's a great story about Willie Nelson, and this is going to shock you. Marijuana.
No.
At the White House, but we'll talk about that here. I know Willie Nelson and weed, it's a bit of a stretch, but we'll talk about that as we get into the latter part of this hour. We also have number one songs this day in history and an audio cut of the day. Paul Hall will join me at 4:20, brought to you by Andrea Steakhouse. We'll talk some movies here this afternoon. So the Kansas City Chiefs had a football game last night at Arrowhead Stadium. I suppose I didn't know there were going to be that many fans. It was 17,000, I guess, a third of capacity. Those fans, though, for only 17,000, they seem to be pretty loud. I liked having the fans in the stands because it took away some of the weirdness. Our friend Alex Rich, who works in our sales department at KMOX, he's been a great contributor to the Mark Reardon Show over the years, mainly because he slips me a little bit of money now and again. Alex, how are you? You were at this game last night?
I was there. I just want to say, Mark, it's, you know, I guess I have to put up with hearing you sometimes. But Jane, great to talk to you.
I know. I miss you, Alex. I can't wait till I can see everybody.
I'm telling you, I have missed you. But, you know, I was there. I was in, what do they call it, Mark? Chief Kingdom?
Yeah, that's right. Chief, so you weren't in a suite or something boring like that. Were you actually in the stands?
We were in the stands, front row. So, actually, they closed off. I don't know if you saw. They had, like, tarps on the seats all the way around, like, the first 10 rows, I guess. And then we were the first row right behind that. And I have to say, I was unsure of what it was going to be like, just the whole social distancing in general. The Chiefs did an unbelievable job. I mean, I didn't feel like I was too close to anybody at all the entire time.
This begs a very important question. Wait, I'll let you answer that in a second. But here's the question that comes to mind, and I think that everyone was thinking about this last night. Why the hell can't we have fans at baseball if you can do this in Kansas City? Anyway, go ahead. Jane, you said what? How'd you get food?
Yeah, I mean, food and drink. I mean, that's important.
So food lines were very limited. I noticed that they did actually a lot on, like, electronic ordering. So you weren't really...
I like that, though.
They did a lot of electronic ordering. So you'd order on the screens. They had hand sanitizer everywhere. Then you'd step up to the counter, and then they would just... You never came in contact with anybody. So they would put the food on the counter and... You know, they'd call your number out and then you'd go.
See, some of these things about the pandemic I really, really like, because I don't generally like people. So if I don't have to deal with people, that's even better. But when I went to Disney World last year, and this is something they use at places like that, with the there was a big long line at one of the restaurants, and my wife's like, no, we just use the app and we order. So we order some things from the app. Yeah. And Alex, as you were describing, they call you up and then you get your food. So some of the things that are going to happen as a result of the pandemic are not necessarily bad things. They may end up being more convenient in the long run. So did you see anything that surprised you? You know, I've seen a lot of comments on Twitter. You said you felt very safe. It looked like there were big groups of people that were sort of more together. I don't know if those were just family members or whatever, but sometimes on television it looked like people were gathered closer maybe than they should have been. Did you see that or not?
It was interesting. There were groups of people. So my group was four people right next to each other. Then there was nobody in, like, the row right behind us. There was, like, a row between everybody. And then everybody else was, like, staggered. But then two or three rows behind us, yes, there were, like, groups of eight. So I would have to think that those are, like, sectioned off as, like, the people that bought tickets together, or they have their group of tickets. And then that's how it's doing it. And they actually have the seats that are, like, you have to be in the specific seat that your ticket says. Obviously that's because that's where your seat is, but more so they have the seats that aren't being used, they have them, like, zip tied so you can't even sit down in those seats. So they, like,
oh really?
Wow.
So they have that's those seats basically locked, so you have to
like
sit
that.
Exactly where they're putting you.
Well, and that
should be a model for other sports, everyone. For sure.
Right. I mean, why couldn't we do that?
It definitely makes me think that, you know, it could be a little more realistic to, you know, if Busch Stadium holds 45,000 people, you know, do they put 10,000 people in there and spread them out? I mean, it was spread out, and there were people walking around, and if you weren't actively eating or drinking, they were being pretty strict as far as put your mask on. I know, I know one person, I guess, one person that I saw refused to put their mask on, and they kicked them out of the stadium.
Bam.
Alex, from your vantage point, since you were so close, could you see through the fog in Andy Reid's mask that he was wearing? And that thing looked just like a cesspool of germs gathering, and he's breathing in and out. I don't know if that was any healthier than not wearing a mask.
Well, we were sitting there right there at the tunnel where the Chiefs run out, and it was, I mean, right when they all lined up to go out, Andy Reid came out and he had the visor mask on, and it was like interesting to see that's going to be the new norm.
Mm. Hey, I would be remiss in my duties if I didn't ask you about the moment where there was some booing, and I've seen a couple of different perspectives on this. There isn't theory, you know, because I don't know that we know exactly what happened, but there's a theory that somebody shouted something about Trump and that people were booing the people that were supporting Trump. So what was your perspective on that?
You know, in preparing for this interview, Mark, you know, that's something I knew was going to be a question that you were going to have. But let me tell you, honestly, from inside the stadium, it did not. I was up still kind of getting food and snacks before going down to the seats. But
yeah, way to be respectful.
Right. Well, of course, I knew that was coming too. you know, it was silent in the stadium. I didn't hear anything abnormal. It seemed like everybody was like, when they were doing the moment of silence, was quiet. So that's the first I've heard about the Trump remark, which makes more sense because it did not seem like from inside the stadium they were booing what they were, you know, what the moment of silence was for. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think what they were booing is if anything, the frustration with the fact that they just want these football players to play football, but also the, you know, there could have been some aspect of the Houston Texans were not on the field. You boo the other team when they come out on the field. So I don't know if it's just one thing. Alex, I got to run. I appreciate you coming on here this afternoon. And it sounds like you had a good time. So that's cool. And a nice Chiefs victory last night. And I scored some points in fantasy football as well. Jane, hang on. I got that Willie Nelson story to share. It involves weed and the White House. That's got to hook you, right?
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Jane, have you ever, I know you have experience with former President Clinton getting handsy with you. Have you ever met former President Carter before?
No, I was too young for that.
I interviewed him one time back in the day, as they say. I think it was at my time, in Columbia. No. This was well after he was president. You know, the thing that I always remembered with Jimmy Carter, his eyes are just, he's got these blue eyes that are just
beautiful,
piercing.
Eyes.
That was my memory from Jimmy Carter. All right, so there's a documentary that is about to come out. Jimmy Carter, Rock and Roll President. Dave, let's roll the trailer here. Portia, the trailer.
One of the things that have held America together has been the music that we share and love.
Jimmy Carter used music in a way that helped him in his politics. It had never been done quite that way.
I'd like to dedicate this song to Jimmy Carter.
I want to introduce to you the great Allman Brothers.
Might be old man, I don't know.
He was cool, he enjoyed our music, and he became a friend.
Aww.
Man, I mean, now I'm kind of curious. Don't really have a lot of great thoughts about Jimmy Carter's time in office, but this is interesting, and I'm gonna spoil something here in the documentary because I love this story. So in the movie, this was a story that was in the LA Times from Randall Roberts, who is from right here in St. Louis. His mom listens every once in a while. He's a great rock and roll critic for the LA Times, and he wrote this story about how President Carter in the movie offers a story involving one of his children. And it is what Willie Nelson, it's about a story Willie Nelson describes this as a big, fat Austin torpedo. Jane, you want to take a stab at when Willie Nelson calls something a big, fat Austin torpedo? What might he be referring to there?
I would say a big old joint.
A big old joint. That's right. So
is that accurate?
This is... Yeah. Well, this is a story about Willie Nelson's account of smoking marijuana on the roof of the White House at the tail end of Carter's term in 1980. And as he explains in the film, the president says that his companion, so this is where it gets interesting, his companion that shared the pot with him was one of the servants at the White House. That is not exactly true. So, in other words, Willie Nelson tells the story about smoking a big, fat Austin torpedo at the White House in 1980 at the end of the term, and he says it's a servant at the White House. Jimmy Carter comes forward now and says, guess what? It was one of my kids. It was one of his kids that was smoking the joint. At one point in the film, Carter sits next to a turntable with Bring It All Back Home from Bob Dylan on, and the Allman Brothers were there too, and they were talking about how they helped him raise money. He didn't have any money. The Allman Brothers helped raise money, and you had Loretta Lynn, Dylan, Linda Ronstadt, and a lot of people, the Staple Singers that performed at the White House, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Carter made time for them. So Bill Clinton had a lot of relationships with rock and roll acts, but I guess Jimmy Carter was well ahead of his time when it comes to things like this. So I look forward to the movie. I think that could be pretty interesting.
I think there's a lot more to Jimmy Carter than people realize. And I think his afterlife has borne that out. I mean, he is extraordinary in a lot of different ways. He may have had bad timing, but he has led an extraordinary life.
I want to thank Dave for all the weed music here this afternoon.
Love
By
it.
The way, this is a movie that is getting a short theatrical release. Got released Tuesday in other markets, and then it's going to move from the theater to on demand in October, ultimately to CNN at the beginning of 2021. Again, it's called Jimmy Carter, Rock and Roll President. It's going to come out here in just a couple of weeks. So I think that that's interesting. On the topic of music, let me get to a couple of stories before we get to number one songs that I think are interesting. I'm really looking forward, and I miss him a lot, Tom Petty. I love Tom Petty. I was very fortunate to see him many times over the course of his career, including the last time he was here in St. Louis. One of the best records that he ever put out was Wildflowers. And in 1994, Jane, when they were making that record, they recorded a couple things, as most artists do, that didn't make the cut. So this was released yesterday. This is a song, actually, we can't play the whole song, obviously, don't have time for that, but it's a song that really resonates today, given the pandemic and everything we're going through. This is called Confusion Wheel, and it's going to be released on a new box set that is, centering around Wildflowers. So this is going to be crazy. It's a 5-disc set that Tom Petty's daughters put together, and his widow also. A lot of songs, different remakes of songs that you might know, like You Don't Know How It Feels and Wildflowers. And here's the new song that just got released, Confusion Wheel.
One of these days, my old friend, you and I won't worry no more.
I would recommend it. It is it's a good song. And again, the quality, they went back and they remastered these things. So the box set, you can get CD and vinyl, and the Ultra Deluxe Limited Edition is just 475 copies. You get 5 CDs, 9 LPs containing a live version of Wildflowers, home recordings, demos. Tom Petty put out a great box set several years ago before he passed away. I mean, this one is going to be fantastic. David Frick and Rick Rubin even did a book, 80 pages, lots of pictures, photographs, stuff like that. So something to look forward to. Jane, how big of a Bruce Springsteen fan I am. And Mr.
Yes.
Springsteen and the E Street Band, he doesn't always record his records with the E Street Band. Sometimes records them on his own, maybe with a couple of members. But in this case, he called in the E Street Band and they recorded a record in 5 days that they're going to release in just a few weeks here in October. And the first song from this got released yesterday, Letter to You. This is actually the name of the new record, which is Letter to You. So something to look forward to from Bruce and the band here in just a few weeks.
We'll have to
see what happens with the tour. Yeah, I think we need, I saw a couple of musicians
music.
Every once in a while, they sample the audience and they say, hey, do you want us to put out new music now or do you want us to wait? I think people want the new music right now.
So that's
something I'm really looking forward to, both the Tom Petty and the Bruce Springsteen. Dave, before we get to number one, did I tell you to pull any other songs? I can't remember. Sometimes I tell them to.
You told
pull
me to
a song
pull that killer song that you liked.
Yeah, he pulled the killer song mainly just because of the intro to Die and Breathe, but we don't have to play that one right now. Let's do number ones. What do you say? 343 on a Friday.
Whiplash propelled us into a time warp, Captain. Backward.
This is a Flashback Friday. Flashback. Number one songs of the 70s to today.
They don't make music like that anymore.
With Mark Rudin on KMOX.
Well, we have a Springsteen connection with this first one. This is still number one from 1970. It was Edwin Starr with the original version of War. Absolutely nothing. But it was the E Street Band that started performing this song in the 1970s and then in the 1980s, especially on the Born in the USA tour. There was a live version released in the 80s, and he made a pretty good version here of War as well. Funny to go from a song like that from 1970 and then obviously covered into the 1980s to the number one song in 1980, which was Christopher Cross and Sailing. We got to bring the mellow mood down here. Okay, that's enough of that. Yeah. 1990. See, I don't only rip on the music of 2020, I rip on the music of 19. I played that song so many times when I was a disc jockey. That's one of the reasons. Yeah. You know, you kind of get to the point when you're doing music radio where you tune songs out, but there are certain songs that you would wish that you would never hear again. I would put that maybe in the top 20 of those. All right, 1990. This was number one. If wishes came true. Okay. This one might make the cut as well. Let's go to 2000. Janet Jackson. I don't even know who that was. Sweet Sensation or something like that. Janet Brutal. Jackson, number one, 2000.
Yeah, nah.
Not a bad hit from Janet Jackson. It was all right. 2010. We're not hitting home runs here. Rihanna was number one in 2010. Just
gonna stay. This is a good one. Great song.
Yes, and I think featured on multiple commercials as well. And gosh, Jane, we have a new number one. I don't know if I've heard this one yet. BTS. Uh-oh. The song is Dynamite. The name of the song.
Oh, yeah. Where's Ravy?
Oh, let's hear this one. Let's hear this one just a little bit, Dave. Yeah, it's got a good beat, and you can dance to it, that's for sure. I haven't heard that one before, but there you go, number one songs this day in history. Jane, we do it every Friday. I was trying to think if I had any other musical recommendations here this afternoon, because I thought there was something else that I wanted to mention, but there you go. We talked about
it. So what are you doing
last week
for Rebecca's birthday? What are you doing
we
for your
are
wife's
going
birthday?
To order. Yeah, we're going to order from Tavern out here in West County. It's a great restaurant. So we're doing curbside for that. Probably just hang out. She's not too revved up about the birthday. It's a birthday that has a number 4 in front of it, and she doesn't get too excited about birthdays. So we're kind of low key.
Denial. Yeah. Tell her to go into denial from now until forever. That's what happens now.
She's so young, though. You know, come on. I've got 14 years on her, so she's still got plenty of time. I was thinking about this, and you can do the math on this if you'd like to, ladies and gentlemen. When she is the age that I am right now, my daughter will be graduating from high school, which is kind of interesting when you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be kind of old.
But did you see the picture that I posted on Facebook yesterday?
Alexa didn't.
Reardon? So yesterday was the day that 6 years ago we finally went public on KMOX and we told people on Facebook that Becky was pregnant. As you might remember, that was a bit of a surprise, and I was about to turn 50 at the time. So I handed Carol the ultrasound picture, and at first this was live on the air, and at first she thought I was going to be a grandfather. I'm like, no, that's not the case. Please, dear Lord. And that was the day. But so I posted the ultrasound of the little alien in mommy's belly with a picture of her that was taken last week by our friend Mindy Leslie, who just her daughter babysat for Lex. And she's a photographer, does a great job, and went down to the sunflower patch not too far from where I live down in Eureka. I don't know if you've ever been down there. There's a farm that does some fun stuff. Yeah. Anyway, Jane, I'll let you go. I have traffic coming up. We'll do an audio cut of the day. I don't think we'll have Dave. Did you tell me we don't have a show next Friday because of baseball? Is that true?
I believe that's the case.
Well, Jane, I'm going to miss you. We gone maybe for a couple of weeks. Enjoy the weekend. 3:48 at the Voice of St. Louis.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. A very somber day. We didn't spend a lot of time on it this afternoon, but it is important to remember. And you have a generation of kids at this point that don't know anything about what happened 19 years ago today.
Flames shooting out of the north side of number one World Trade Center.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh no!
I saw the plane hit the building. I can't say anything.
People jumping off the buildings. They were running out in the streets, getting hit by cars. It was just ugly. It was just terrible.
Help! Help! Which way should we go?
A scene of utter devastation before my eyes. The second World Trade Center tower demolishing. People screaming in the streets here in utter disbelief, clutching their heads, plenty of tears. People cannot believe that this has come down.
It was a nightmare. Couldn't see. Everything was totally black. You were just walking, hoping to find daylight. It was just unbelievable. I never seen anything like it in my life.
Well, I was in Milwaukee at the time, working at WTMJ. The Cardinals were actually in. Obviously, the game got canceled that night. As I remember it, I think President George Herbert Walker Bush got grounded in Milwaukee as well at Mitchell Field when all this happened. And I mentioned earlier in the show, two summers ago, I went to the 9/11 Memorial. And if you're ever able to travel again to New York City, if we ever have tourism again, go see that memorial. Spend some time. I took my son. He was just 2 years old at the time. Actually, one, I believe. And it was an important thing to do. That's your audio cut of the day. Total Information PM is coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.